chapter 2, the book of Acts, chapter 2 this morning. I've used this scripture for several different messages. But the same scripture, and I'm going to use it this morning. And I want to preach a message about the church today. Acts chapter number 2. And everybody look at it with me, please. Acts chapter 2, verse, down there toward the end there, verse number 46. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. And they, continuing with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with singleness and gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Isn't that great? The Lord added to that church every day such as should be saved. You know who such as should be saved are? People who believe on Him. And that's what the Bible means when it says that. So I'm going to preach this morning on the subject, why I am a member of the church. Why I am a member of the church. I hope you'll understand this morning when I refer to the church what I'm speaking about. Not long after I was saved, as a matter of fact, a few days after I was saved, I was 18 years old. They told me, they started telling me stuff. They said, "Now, Danny, since you got saved, you need to get baptized." I said, "Okay, that's fine. Let's go ahead and do it. When are we going to do it?" They said, "I think Sunday night after next, something like that." I said, "That's fine with me. I want to get baptized." They said, "Danny," they said, you want to join the church?" I said, "Okay, how do you join the church?" I was more than willing. I wanted to be a member of the church. And they stood us up. There's about 100 and something young people saved in revival. I got saved in. And they lined us all up, about 40 of us, one Sunday morning. And they took the microphone and they held it and let each one tell their name. And I'll never forget standing there in front of that congregation of people at Nebo Baptist Church. Some of them knew me, knew me all my life. They'd heard me play in a rock and roll band. They'd seen me play basketball at the school. And they said, "I can't believe he's standing up there joining the church." And I stood up there like that. And that morning, I was proud to say my name. I got the microphone and I said, "Danny Castle." And it just felt like, yeah. You know, I felt, I am a church member. Amen. I belong to a church. And I have, from that moment to this, I am a member of the church. Right now, I am a member of this local body here that we call Shining Light Baptist Church. Sit down, ma'am. We are a member. I am a member of this church, Shining Light Baptist Church. And I'm a part of this local body. Now, you understand this morning that everybody who's saved in the whole wide world is a part of the Lord's body. They are part of what we call universal church. Everybody who's saved is a part of the Lord's body. There's nobody who's saved that's not a part of His body. There are a lot of people who are not a part of a local assembly. That's what this is. This what we have here this morning is a local assembly. It contains people that are saved, people that are not saved, or visitors and all. It's a local assembly. But we have what we call a church membership. Now, let me explain something about that. We're living in a time when a lot of people say, "I don't believe in organized religion." You hear that all the time. Some smart aleck hippie professor told them that in college, and they thought it sounded good, and they sort of picked it up and passed it around. "We don't believe in organized religion," meaning we don't believe in going to church. You can worship God out there on the riverbank. You believe in rocks, trees, flowers. You can wherever you see God in nature, that's your church. I had a man tell me the other day, he said, "I go to church every day." Yeah, right here in my living room. I bet you do. I bet you really do. And that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about an assembly, a certain place, at a certain time, where we meet together to preach and pray, honor God, try to reach people and preach that Bible. That's what church is. A church has a membership. The reason we have a membership is because we own property and we own these chairs and we own stuff like that. There's got to be some kind of legal accountability for it. I know people say a lot of churches sort of think it sounds sort of cool, and they'll put up a big sign that says, so-and-so, such-and-such, such-and-such church, where coming makes you a member. And they say, as long as you just come there, you're automatically a member. That can't work. That won't work. Because if coming makes you a member, any group in the world could come in here and outnumber us this morning and say, we're taking over. Coming makes you a member. Coming does not make you a member. You are received into the church fellowship by a majority of the church that's present in that service in which you join. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. You need to be a part of a good Bible-believing church. I know what some of you are thinking. You say, well, I know people go to church. Yeah, I do too. Some of the biggest crooks in this county are sitting in church this morning. I mean, ain't no doubt about that. That's not nothing new. Everybody knows that. I mean, there's people go to church every Sunday. That's a crooked. They fell in a barrel of fish hooks. They wouldn't get stuck all the way to the bottom. They screw their socks on in the morning. They're so crooked. They couldn't tell the truth if their life depended on it. But that's the exception. That's not the rule. This is the best thing in town, what you're sitting in here this morning. I think there is nothing better, nothing greater, nothing more beneficial to society, nothing better to our country than what we're sitting in right here this morning. A good old-fashioned Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church cannot be beat in this world. There's no civic organization can compare to what a church is. There's nothing in this world has helped our country stay strong like Bible-preaching churches is. I'm glad and proud to say that I'm still a member of the church. Now, I'm going to say a few things about it this morning by the help of the Lord. First of all, I want to say why I'm a member of the church. I'm a member of the church because I got acquainted with the founder. I got acquainted one day with the founder. That night at Nebo Baptist Church, as I told you, I was 18 years of age. I sat back there that night and people started going to the altar. I'd never been in much like that in my life. But I'll never forget, the people was up singing, and there was a group of young people up singing, and they... Okay, bus workers, we all got to sit down and be still. Meet a bus worker right over there. You cannot get up no more. Nobody gets up no more. We quiet. Down, stay down. Now, when I sat there that night, and I sat there as I listened to that singing, God began to speak to my heart. And God spoke to my heart, as you've heard me tell many, many times. My cousin punched me and said, "Hey, Danny, let's go get saved." And I remember sitting there, and I thought, I'm not ready to get saved. This girl that I went to school with, she turned around, she was in front of me. She turned around and she said, "Danny, why don't you get saved?" I said, "It's not my time to get saved." And she said, "Danny, why don't you go get saved?" And I remember saying, and boy, all of a sudden, everything my mom taught me started coming back in my head. My mom set me on her lap when John, I was just a little bitty thing. I mean, me and my two sisters would all pile on my mom. She'd open a big old family Bible and tell us Bible stories out of the Word of God. And my mom sat there and she read us the Bible. And all through the years when I was out in sin, my mom's words would ring in my ears. She preached to us and preached to us and preached to us. That's why I told you. That's why I tell you. We need a bus worker to sit over here, please. Okay, thank you. We're supposed to be on this side, but we'll let them sit there this morning, but they cannot get up. All right? We sat there that morning or that evening in that service, and God began to deal with my heart. And God still started dealing with my heart. And people started coming to the altar, and they come to the altar, and they come to the altar. Next thing I know, it began to tug at my heart. And I went down that night, and God saved me. I changed that moment instantaneously. Everything looked different. Everything felt different. I felt different about everything. I saw everything through different eyes. I became acquainted with the founder. And immediately that night, I began to think, you know what? I know who started this thing now. I met Him. His name is Jesus. When you got saved, you met Jesus. Like Zacchaeus met Him when he come down the tree. Like John met Him there on the road, the sea there when he came out to get baptized. Like Simon Peter met Him in Matthew 16, and Paul met Him in the book of Acts. We met the Lord. I became acquainted with the Founder. I know who started this thing. You say, Brother Danny, I thought you founded this. No, I was just a human instrument that got up here and said, let's do it. The Founder of this church is the Lord Himself. I'm glad I got acquainted with the Founder. But let me say secondly this morning, you know why I'm a member of the church? I'm a member of the church because I needed a church home. I needed a church home. Let me say to you this morning, everybody in here today, let me say to you, you need to be a part of a church where you can be accountable and be a member of it and back it up and support it. I know how some people believe. I know people say, well, I just don't believe in joining a church. I just go here and I go yonder and I go over there. Wherever I feel led on Sunday morning, I get up and go to that church. What if everybody did that? What if all of us would have got up this morning and I'd have just said, I feel led to go over here and preach on the other side of town. Y'all would have got here this morning and not had a preacher. What if everybody in here would just get up and just say, I'm just going to go wherever I feel led? I'll tell you what your problem is. You don't want to have no responsibility, and you want to be able to lay out about half the time, and that way nobody won't know. Ain't that about the way it really is? I mean, isn't that about your problem this morning? Don't get mad at me. You're the one got the problem, not me. And I'm going to tell you something. What you need to do, you say, I'm going to be a part of it. You say, I don't want to join this church. Well, you better go find you one that you can believe in and one that you can join and one that you can be a part of. You say, well, I don't agree with this here at this church and I'll never join. And I'll tell you something else. You go to the next 15, you'll find something you don't agree with there. I talked to this man one time. He said, I said, where are you going to church? He said, well, I'm looking for one. I talked to him about 6 months later. I said, where are you going to church? He said, I still ain't found one I like yet. I talked to him, I ran to him, man. I said, come on, man, where are you going to church at? He said, I'll just be honest with you, preacher, I ain't found one that suited me yet. And it sort of flew all over me. And I said, look, buddy, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it. Because you'd ruin it. And he looked at me like, what'd you say? Can't believe you said that. And I said, don't tell me about it, because if I joined it, I'd ruin it too. Because I'm a sinner. And I'd feel mighty uncomfortable in a perfect church where everybody was perfect, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be lonely in a church where you was the only sinner in there and everybody was perfect? You say, well, this is wrong with that church and this is wrong with that church. Well, duh, there's something wrong with you too, big boy. Come enjoy it with the rest of us, sorry, good for nothing, and be a part of the church and let's get the job done for God. Quit hiding behind that excuse of you can't find a good church. Come on, man, get off of that. You know good and well there ain't no such thing as a perfect church. There's no such thing in this world. Somebody wrote these words, I think that I shall never see a church that all it's ought to be, a church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way, a church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never sings the blues, a church whose deacons always deek and none is proud and all are meek, where gossip never peddles lies or make complaints or criticize, where all are always sweet and kind and all to others' faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me. But still we'll work and pray and plan to make our own the best we can. We'll do our dead level best to make our church. Listen, we're not perfect, but I'll tell you what, we might be a nut, but we're screwed on the right boat. We may be faulty sinners, but we got the right book, and we got the right belief, and we got the right spirit. I'm telling you this morning, you need a church home. You need a church that you can call your home. You need a church that you can be a part of. You need a church that you can support and back it up and be a part of it. I'm telling you, you need to be a part of a Bible-believing church. And if you ain't a member, you ought to join this morning. And if you don't, you say, well, I don't agree with some of the things you... we all heard this week. I said I wasn't going to say nothing about this, but I can't help it. Y'all hear on the news this week that they're fussing now a little bit. One news network over the comments that Barack Obama's pastor made in the pulpit. Did y'all hear that freak in the pulpit? What a nut, man. You know what he said? You say, well, Brother Danny, you should, oh, you just sit there and hush for a minute. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something, brother. That man has no business. He ain't a bit more a preacher than Hillary is. I'm telling you this morning, brother. And you know what? Barack Obama said, well, I didn't know he believed that. He's been his pastor 20 years, and he didn't know he believed that. He said, I've never heard him say that. Listen, I've been some of you people's pastor 20 years. You know what I believe. I've been some of y'all's pastors 20 months, and you know what I believe. You can't tell me you can go to a church 20 years and not know what the pastor believes. He said, I didn't know he'd ever said that before. You know what he said? He said that America was responsible for the 9/11 attacks on our buildings in New York City. That's a strong accusation, brother. He said, I'll get up and walk out. I done got you. You done heard it. He said that America, he's accusing our nation of bombing ourselves. That's a strong accusation, brother. That's a strong accusation. You want somebody, the president, that believes we bombed ourselves? He said, well, he don't believe that. I didn't say he did. But that man married him and his wife. That man's been his spiritual advisor. 20 years, you tell me he don't know what he believes? You ought to know what your pastor believes. You say, I don't know what you believe, Brother Danny. Ask me. I'll be glad to say. You don't even have to ask me. I'll tell you anyway. I'm telling you, brother, listen, you need to be a part of a church where they preach that book and where they stand on what this Bible says. Everything claims to be a church ain't a church. You know what that preacher said? You know what that preacher said? He said, white people invented AIDS to kill black people. That guy is an idiot. Amen. Why would anybody want to invent AIDS? They think we ain't going to catch it too? Why? No, they didn't invent AIDS to kill Mexicans or black people or white people. I'm telling you, that's a racist, bigot statement. I'm telling you, that's not a Bible-believing church. Say amen right there. You say, well, Brother Daniel, you might not know what the Bible said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Agreed? You're not going to walk. You're not going to keep coming to this church if you disagree with everything I believe in. I'm telling you, I know somebody's sitting there saying, well, I still think. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. You need to be a part of a Bible-believing church, brother, that preaches this book. Amen. You say, well, I just don't believe in having a church. Yeah, you know, you're sort of like a... You say, I cannot be a Christian and not have a church. Yeah, you can. It's sort of like a student that don't have a school, you know. It's like a soldier that don't have an army. You're like a citizen that don't pay taxes or vote. You're like a salesman with no customers. You're like an explorer with no base camp. You're like a seaman on a ship without a crew. That's what you're like. You're like a businessman on a deserted island. You're like an author without any readers. You're like a tuba player with no orchestra. You're like a football player without a team. You're like a parent with no family. That's what you're like. You're like a politician who's a hermit. You're like a scientist that does not share his findings. You're like a bee without a hive. You're like a body with no arms and no legs. I'm telling you, you need to be a part of a church. You need to get in the church. Let's get in the church head over heels. Listen, there ain't no obstacle we can't overcome. There ain't no bill we can't pay. There ain't no new building we can't fill up. If every one of us would just lock arms and say, by the grace of God, we're going to get this job done God's called us to do. You know what's wrong with some of you people? You're too standoffish. You sort of like standoff saying, I'm just going to sort of watch to see because I don't want to get involved because I don't want to get hurt. Listen, you big baby. You're going to get hurt either way. Either way. If you live in this world and do anything for God, you're going to get hurt. But you might as well get hurt doing something good. You're going to get hurt. Listen, they'll talk about you if you go. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've had people tell me this. They said, Brother Danny, I love to hear you preach. You're the best preacher I've ever heard in my life. I've had them tell me that. They said, you're the best preacher I've ever heard in my life, but I can't come to your church. I said, why? They said, call my king will fuss at me. And I said, well, you find out how much you love the Bible by how much criticism you're willing to take to hear the Bible. If you love the Word of God, you won't really care what they say. You'll say, hey, I'm getting my soul fed. I'm getting help from God. You can jump in the lake and swallow a snake and come back up with a blessed bellyache. Amen. That's what the old timers used to say. That's right. I'm telling you, I needed a church home. I'm going to tell you something else. Number three this morning. You know why I'm a member of the church? I'm a member of the church because I had a love for the family. I had a love for the family. When I got saved, I started loving church people. I like y'all, most of you. I love all of you, and I like most of you. That's being as honest as I can be. I love all of you, and I like most of you. But honest to goodness, I like being around church people. I'm comfortable around church people. We agree on most stuff. I like being around church. I like having a family that I can depend on. I look at some men in here, Brother Andy, some of these men, Brother Roy. I listen to a tape where I heard mention Brother Roy on a tape that I preached over 20 years ago. And I've known him all these many years. And Brother Andy, ever since he got saved, Kevin, I've known him since he was that high. I remember when he used to spit backer juice in a Pepsi bottle. When he was just, we'd be playing basketball. He probably still does that. But I tell you what, and then he drunk it. I ain't gonna tell you about that. But anyway, listen, and you know what? I know Brother Jason ever since he'd been saved. You know what I can do? Ladies, this may not mean much to you this morning, but the day's going to come. I know if I was having it rough, or I was having a problem, or I was having a burden, or I was tore all to pieces, I know that I could call this man right here, and I'd say, Brother Jason, I need help. Will you pray with me? I know he would. I know any of these men, they'd come to my house and say, Brother Danny, let's get down on our knees and pray. We got down up here last night and prayed. That's a family, brother. That's good. We ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank God you've got a church family that when a burden and tragedy is going to come someday, that you'll say, I can call my sisters at church and they'll pray for me. I'm glad I got a church that I can depend on when somebody dies, when somebody's in the hospital. I'm glad I've got a church family. And if you ain't thankful for it now, the day's going to come when you're going to need it, and you'll be glad it's there. Listen, buddy, when you get in trouble and lose your job and you get laid off at work, go down there at the bar in Charlotte or Hickory and see if they're going to help you pay your light bill and buy you some groceries. It's a church that'll be there for you when everything falls out from under you. Go to the ABC store and say, hey, I can't make my bills this month. Will you help me out? They'll life you out of there. Come to the house of God and people will love you and help you and forgive you and take you in and be a blessing to you. I had a love for the family. Amen. You know what we need? We need a church. We need a church where when people are out in the community and somebody, I was coming somewhere, I forget where I was at, like Mississippi or something, a long time ago. I mean, this is like 20 years ago. And I was coming through one night and I wound up having to finish the revival meeting or something. And I was driving back home on Wednesday for some reason. Hardly ever do that. But I was driving back home on Wednesday and it got church time. And I remember thinking, I'm going to find me a church and just go to it. I never ever get to do that. A lot of things you don't get to do is I never get to be on vacation and just find a church. I never get to sit with my kids in church. Y'all don't know what a blessing it is just to sit with your kids. I've never sat with my kids ever in their lives at church. I've always seen them from up here. Y'all don't know what a blessing it is just to have a church where you can come sit with your wife and your kids all on the same pew. You ought to shout every day of your life if you get to do that. What a blessing. But I remember I was driving up the road and I said, I'm going to find me a church and go. So I stopped the store and I stopped the store to get some gas. And I got the phone book, and I started looking for churches. Churches. Baptist. Churches. Southern. Churches. Independent. Churches. Free will. Churches. Church of God. Churches. And I just started going in there. I thought, well, I don't want to waste my time. I'd like to hear some preaching. And so I asked this guy there. I said, you know where a good church is around here? He said, well, something's right down there. Right down here, such and such a Baptist church. Right down there, such and such a Methodist church. I said, what do they do on Wednesday night? They said, well, on Wednesday night, they serve supper every week on Wednesday night. I said, man, I've done eat. I don't want to go to eat. I want to go hear some preaching. He said, well, that down there has choir practice. You know, I said, I don't want to hear somebody sing. I want to go hear some preaching. And about that time, this boy walked up, and his name is George. And he introduced himself, and I said, you know where a good church is? He said, you come with me. He said, you follow me to my church. I said, now what is it? I said, are they going to have preaching? He said, yeah, my pastor preached tonight. I said, okay, George. And I followed him down the road. I went into that church that night. I don't even remember the name of it. I don't even remember what it looked like. But I remember that we went in that church, and there was people everywhere. When I walked in that place, it felt alive. It felt like electricity in there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was alive. Have you ever been into a church and you felt like you was walking into a funeral home? And there was cobwebs and there was just a bunch of old people and they looked at you like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Oh, man, look like it's petrified or something. And I looked at them and I said, and I've seen them like that. They get the meanest look on their face. I think, golly, man, who'd want to come to this? But it wasn't like that. There was kids running around. There was people everywhere. I said, oh my goodness, I can feel something in here. And that man, it was a little on the fancy side, but there was a big crowd there. I could have done without the fancy stuff, but I'm telling you something, that old boy got up there and he gave us something from the Scripture. And I thought about that many, many times. If you met somebody in the grocery store, if you met somebody at a rest stop, and you said, I'm going to church tonight, do you know where I can go? I hope that you'll be able to say, yeah, come to my church. Come to my church. You'll hear something. You'll hear the Bible. You want the Bible? You come. You'll get it, buddy. Gun barrel straight and load your wagon before you leave. That's the way a church ought to be. I'm telling you, I'm glad, brother, I had a love for the family. Let me say fourthly this morning right quick, and I'll hurry. I'm glad I'm a member of the church because the church helps me. Church helps me. I want my kids to be able to go to church and go to a Sunday school class, and a Sunday school teacher open the Bible and tell my kids the same thing that I'm telling them while we're at home. The church helps me. I've heard people say, well, I heard about this one man. He got mad and left this one church. And then something happened he didn't like. He got mad and went to another church. Something happened he didn't like. Got mad and went to another church. Something happened he didn't like. He'd been to about 10 different churches. And finally, I said, whatever happened to so-and-so? They said, him and his wife started their own church in his basement. And they got mad and had a split. Him and her. That's right. You know what? I ought to go to church because at church, your family gets help. Your family gets help. You're being helped this morning, whether you realize it or not. Right? You know what I'm doing? I'm plowing. I'm digging down and I'm plowing, brother. That's why I'm sweating, you know. This ain't aerobics I'm doing. I'm plowing, brother. I'm plowing. And I'm made for this. This is what God called me to do. I'm going to sink it deep, brother, in that plow and turn up that old fallow ground and just turn your heart upside down before you leave and tell you your church helps me. Having a path. Did you know something? I believe the Bible is supernatural, and I believe that whatever problem you've got, if you'll go to church long enough, sooner or later, God will speak through that word and it'll help you with your problem. What kills me is that some people have these problems and they don't go to church half the time, and right about the time they're not there, the preacher will preach right exactly what they need here. That's why you need a church. That's why God may be giving you the answer. God may be helping you over that hump. God may be giving you that direction, where to live, who to marry, where to go to college, all that stuff. It'll all come through the instruction of the Word of God. You know what I think? I got Scripture to back this up. I think that sometimes a preacher can get up and preach. He might be preaching on pride or jealousy or giving or church attendance or shouting or heaven or hell, and the Holy Spirit can take that message and give about 30 different answers to different people sitting in the church house.
Yeah.
It's supernatural what I'm doing right now. God's in this. You say, where do you get that? Peter, on the day of Pentecost, jumped up and preached a sermon, and everybody there understood it in their own language. Every one of them people heard something different. God took it from his mouth to their ears and translated it in midair. I've heard people say, boy, people say the weirdest thing about preaching. I had somebody come up to me the other night at revival. They said, Brother Danny, they said, I want that sermon you preached about Oprah. I said, what? They said, the sermon you preached about Oprah. I said, I have no idea in the world what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, it's on the radio. The one about Oprah. And you hear what people do? I mention Oprah for 10 seconds. And I've been preaching on the woman at the well. And they say, that sermon about Oprah. They remember that one little part of it. I said, lady, I don't know what sermon you're talking about. I'm sorry. If you can remember it, I'll be glad to get it and send it to you. But I'm telling you what, brother, the church helps me. When you're sick, it'll be the church that comes to visit you. When I went and seen little man. Y'all know little man's in the hospital. The world's oldest bus kid sits right here. I mean, he is in the hospital, and bless his heart, he's not doing bad. He's just got a few little things, nothing serious. He's 94 years old. And I went over to see him the other day. It was such a blessing. The two ladies that come with him and sit right there, they was all crowded around the bed. She said, I told little man he's got to get well. And I talked to him. I said, how you feeling, little man? He said, oh, pretty good. And he said, talk about this, has some pretty women in there working. That's what he said. I stopped him right out there at the door. Don't tell him I said this. He's gone. I stopped him right out there. I thought that the lady that comes with him is his wife. I didn't. I said, now is this your wife? He said, oh, no. He said, I'm a free man. I said, give me five. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I'll tell you something, brother. I got over there and I got the biggest blessing in that hospital talking to him. I got the biggest blessing. They said, his mama lived to be 103. I said, my goodness, really? I said, little man, I wonder what he done to stay that healthy. See, I wouldn't even know, little man, if it wasn't for the church. You meet some characters in this place, you know it? I mean, brother, sometimes I don't know if we got a church or a zoo. I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, we got some characters, and I like it like that. You know, you throw out the net, you're going to bring it up with all kind of fish. And I mean, ain't no telling what your gasm, goosem, crawfish, and everything. But I'm telling you, brother, I enjoyed visiting with little man. I said, I talked to a man the other day, and he said, well, my aunt lived to be 97 or something like that. And I said, boy, I bet she never did smoke or drink or nothing, did he? He said, no, she didn't, but she dipped snuff since she's 13. That's what he said. But anyway, I'm going to tell you something, brother. I'm glad the church helps me. Not only that, I'm a member of the church because being a member of the church gives me an opportunity to serve. I just got through talking about that. Amen. Gives you an opportunity to serve. You can be a part. We fixing to do, needing some help. When we move into the new building, we're going to divide up and make about 5 new Sunday school classes that we don't even have now. We're going to make a nursery that's, you know, we got a nursery about at least probably 6 times bigger than that. And a huge nursery. One of the nicest nurseries I've ever seen. It's what we'll have over there. We're going to have some ladies run it, do it right, have a nursery, help out. We got a lot of plans. It'll give you an opportunity to serve. I've heard people say, well, I don't want to go. You know, a lot of people call our church a big church. They say it's a big church because we have a big crowd compared to a lot of churches. And they say, there's just nothing for me to do. Your opportunities for service are more in a bigger church than it is a little bitty church. You can do all kinds of things unless you want to be the top dog and steal a spotlight and all that kind of stuff. But if you really want to do something for God, we've got multi opportunities for you to do something for God. Most people who say they want to do something either want a salary or a spotlight. And neither one of them is available right now, sorry. But I'm telling you something, brother. We need some worker opportunity for service. And I'm telling you, brother, an opportunity for service is yours if you're a church member. Not only that, number 6, it gives you an opportunity to invest in God's work. When we give our money, let me tell you something happened to me this week. I don't always tell stuff like this, but it's so unusual. I believe in giving. You know, I've preached on it lately. We had that big offering a few weeks ago. God blessed us with that $21,000 to help us with our new building. All that's done spent. I think we spent $5,000 or $6,000 the last 2 days on stuff over there. And a big one's coming up this week with a parking lot. And all that stuff's happening. And I thank God for it. But I'm telling you, when you give, when you put your money in that offering plate, this is the reason why you ought to be a part of a church. When you put your money in that offering plate, part of it goes for gas in them buses. Part of it is for these little boys and girls that got saved or getting help back there in junior church this morning. Part of it goes to the Philippines where people have never heard the gospel. And there's preachers out there, out west, Brother Nelson, and it goes everywhere. That's why you ought to be a part of a church. Because if you're not, you can't do stuff like that. You say, well, you're one of them preachers preach about giving money. Oh, no. Oh, no. You missed it. It's an opportunity. Let me tell you what happened to me this week. I don't usually do this, but I stuck them in my pocket to show them to you. I got in the mail, this rarely happens, but I got in the mail the other day a check, some kind of refund from my home, my insurance company. Insurance company send you money. That's a miracle, ain't it? And it said, Danny Castle, pay the order up, check amount, $106. And when I got that check, I thought, what in the world? Something must happen. And immediately I thought, the first thing I thought was, just put that with your thighs and give it to the church. And then my flesh said, no, that's $106. You need that for the... And I thought, no, I would have never even known about it if it hadn't come. Lord, I'm going to put this in the church because I've been trying to give extra every week because of my building program. And I think, well, and you know what happened. You ain't going to believe this. That check, I put it in my billfold to put it in this morning. Now I'll put it in tonight. I just want to show it to you. I went down there to that little church and preached the other night. We had a good service down there. Some went and they sang and everything. And boy, they said, we're going to take Brother Danny up an offering. They're going to take Brother Danny up an offering. And when I got through, the pastor gave me this check. This check says, Danny Castle, $106. That's the truth. That's the truth you want to see. Do you know what the odds of that happening are? Do you think that's just an accident, people? I got the blessing of giving 106, still got my 106. While you rant and pout and fuss and gripe and give your $2, I get a record in heaven. I get a blessing. I get to shout over it. I get to brag on the Lord. You got more faith because I give $106 and I still got $106. Can't outgive God, you tightwads. That's what's wrong with some of you folks. You say, now, daggone it, if I gave $106, I ain't going to get it. You'll get it back one way or the other. Do you know what the odds are happening of you getting a check for $106 one week and then somebody giving you $106? Who's ever got a $106 check? Why didn't they just round that out to $110, them cheapskates? That's what we'd have done here at our church. If we take up an offering for a preacher and it's $175, I'd say, write it for $200. But the Lord did that. I'm telling you, that's why, you know, that stuff, you just keep seeing stuff and keep seeing stuff. And the Lord's done a lot for me like that lately just to say, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. I like to shout it this morning. I was listening to Ralph Sexton's choir singing that Smoky Mountain Jubilee and they were saying, Father alone. Did anybody hear that on TV this morning? I said, glory to God, Father alone will understand it better. He's coming again, the Lord's coming back. I about started crying in my bedroom this morning because I thought, glory to God, I'm still pressing on, still going on, battle scarred, wounded, crippled, but thank God we're still in the battle, people. We've still got a church. We still can shout. We still can preach and sing and worship the Lord. I'm glad I'm a member of the church. Lord have mercy, I'm out of time, but the last thing I'm going to say is I'm glad I'm a church because it's the only thing Jesus acknowledged as His very own and He's coming back for. Jesus is coming back after church. I'm going to say this, and some of y'all ain't going to like it. Come on, Miss Desi. Come on, Brother Jason. Some of y'all ain't going to like this, but the church is the most important thing in the world. I know a lot of these philosopher preachers on TV are telling you the home's the most important thing. I challenge anybody in the Bible to show me. Anybody in here show me in the Bible where it said your home more important than church. Jesus didn't die for a home. He died for a church. Jesus, you say, well, we didn't have no homes. I understand that. One preacher got up and he said, we know the home more important than the church because God made the home before He made the church. Well, He made rocks before He made the home. That ain't nothing. Jesus is coming back after the church. Are you a part of it? Are you a part of it? Do you know the Lord's looking at you right now? Did you know your record is on high? Did you know you're going to give an account to the Lord one day? You know what I'd do if I was you? I'd get my heart right in this altar, and then I'd come to me and say, I want to join this church, and I'm going to be a part of it from now on. Put my money here, my presence here, my time here. And if you don't like me, like you hate me, go find you a good one that you can support and be a part of it. But not Obama's pastor. Be one that believes the Bible. Amen?